Welcome to the GIST podcast. Ahead of GIST Research Conference, Nicola Yeales spoke to Professor David Robey about how technology can support researchers working in the arts and humanities, and where funding for that support should come from. Professor David Robey is currently Arts and Humanities Consultant at the Oxford eResearch Centre, and until recently, he was Director of the Arts and Humanities Research Council's ICT and Arts and Humanities Research Programme.
What technology is available to help researchers working in the arts and humanities?
Well, I suppose what you have to distinguish between is the cutting-edge technology and the technology that's become more normally available to people. I mean, all arts and humanities researchers these days use word processors, they use online resources very extensively. Not so many of them use advanced methodologies to create new research findings, but there is a growing group that does do this now.
So how has IT use changed the way that researchers work in the arts and humanities?
A lot of what IT does has simply been to make research work easier for scholars in the arts and humanities. And it's a bit more difficult to pinpoint ways in which IT has created the possibility of new research findings and asking new research questions. But that is, I think, increasingly happening.
Can you give some examples?
Well, I suppose if I was to say where the exciting new areas of development are at the moment, there is text mining using the abilities of computer to process very large amounts of text. There are various ways of working with images, image retrieval, image enhancement, other forms of image analysis. There's a growing interest in the use of geographical information systems. There's a certain amount of work in use of virtual reality, VR reconstructions of, for instance, some theatres, some exciting work has been done. Sound analysis may also be a field of growing interest. Those are the ones I would say were the most interesting prospects for the future lie. Although in many cases the work is still at its beginnings.
What are the barriers to successful technology use in these areas for researchers, do you think?
My own feeling is that the problem isn't that researchers don't use technology enough. A lot of researchers use technology. If you look at the research projects that have been funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council, really since it existed, quite a high proportion, currently going up to about 40% of funded projects, involve some kind of data output. So an interest in data and the ways you can use it, that's definitely there. I think the issue is much more helping people to use information technology better, use more advanced methodologies to push back barriers of knowledge, rather than the mere fact of using it. I'm not. I don't feel, for instance, there's a great need to go out there and convince arts and humanities researchers who don't currently use information technology to use it more. In my mind, quite enough of them are using it already, and as I said, the issue is really to help people to use it better, more interesting and more novel ways.
What can JISC and other organisations do to help overcome those issues and help researchers to use technology in interesting ways?
Well, I mean, JISC has done a lot. JISC has made a major contribution to the use of information technology in the arts and humanities, both in creating a very large and important range of data resources, but also in funding humanities projects in the virtual research environment, program, and more broadly in the e-infrastructure program, and indeed it contributed very significantly to funding and working with the HLC ICT program. So JISC already has done a lot. The real problem, I think, at the moment is that if you are funding new kinds of work using information technology in the arts and humanities, you are funding, or you will tend to be funding, what one might call much more development projects rather than research projects. That's to say, projects that are developing a methodology which have potential, you would hope great potential, for future research findings. but which themselves do not necessarily produce substantial or significant research findings. They're simply developing the tools that will allow people to produce new and exciting research findings in the future. The problem with that is twofold, really. First of all, that research councils typically don't tend to fund that kind of thing. The research councils are interested, above all, in producing world-class research findings. So a funding stream has to be found that would specifically help the development of what I've been calling development projects. The second problem is that if you do fund development projects, you then need to find a way of maximising their value. And that means you've got to create or have some kind of infrastructure or provide a platform for these projects that will make them visible to other researchers, help other researchers to use them, and therefore guarantee their sustainability in the longer term. And that currently is a problem in that in the arts and humanities there no longer is, or shortly will no longer be, that kind of infrastructure to provide that kind of platform.
So what do you think should be the priority for JISC going forward?
Well, JISC has a problem. It has done, as I said, a huge amount to support ICT use in the arts and humanities. And some of it has been to fund the development of infrastructure. But JISC quite rightly feels that it is not funded itself to develop infrastructure for a particular subject area. That it would regard under current arrangements that as being the task of the individual research councils. The trouble is that the Arts and Humanities Research Council, currently in quite serious financial straits, feels that it can't significantly invest in infrastructure. So the specific arts and humanities infrastructure really rather falls between two stools in this respect, and we haven't yet got a solution that will allow for some kind of longer-term funding of that sort of infrastructure. But infrastructure, I think, if you really want to promote the development of ICT in the arts and humanities, you've got to have. It doesn't have to be a huge infrastructure, but you've got to preserve the knowledge base and provide some kind of support system for what is effectively a very sort of fragmented and dispersed research community.
What do you think that support system would look like?
Well, in the past, it involved institutions. There used to be the Arts and Humanities Data Service, which provided a very valuable platform and support for data creation projects. But funding for that has terminated, unfortunately. I think there is considerable scope for replacing that, not with, as it were, a kind of physical institution and repository, which is what the HDS also was, but with some kind of virtual support system. Currently, we have such a virtual support system in the form of the website artshumanities.net. We have put some effort into developing a network of independent expert centres to fill some of the gap that was left by the abolition of the Arts and Humanities Data Service. The difficulty with that, of course, is it's very valuable, it's important for these expert centres, of which are quite a number in the UK, in what we would now call the digital arts and humanities. It's obviously useful for them to get together and to work as a kind of, or operate as a kind of network. The trouble is that they're all, of course, very poorly funded, and the amount they can contribute in the form of money to keeping a network operation going at maximum effectiveness is very limited. So I come back to the position that you need some kind of public funding element if you want to support that kind of activity and the sort of resources that would help it to flourish. It was a terrific opportunity, the eScience programme. It sounds like a contradiction in terms to talk about eScience for the arts and humanities. But what eScience really was and is, was an agenda for collaboration between the whole range of academic disciplines and computer scientists. And that agenda clearly is just as important for the arts and humanities as it is for any other discipline. The arts and humanities actually missed out on a very substantial amount of core funding that went through the research councils to eScience. But with a lot of help from JISC as well as from the EPSRC, we did put together an eScience initiative specifically for the arts and humanities, which is funded a range of really very exciting projects, development projects of the kind that I was talking about earlier, but projects whose key element was that they involved more or less equal collaborations between arts and humanities researchers on the one hand and computer scientists on the other. And I think it's very important to keep that sort of thing going, because that's where the really exciting developments are likely to take place.
You've been listening to a JISC podcast. For further information, please visit www.jisc.ac.uk. Thank you.